Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1098. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, no Paris, no Pete, but we have Rihanna.
Hello.
From What's Good Games and also G4.
Hi.
What's up, Ri?
What's up?
What's up?
It is early.
Very early. Very early. And we're going to be talking about Apex Legends on the show. And
season
the reason
eight.
Is, yeah, season 8 is coming up, and also the second anniversary of the game. And wow. Rumor... the game is also coming out for the Nintendo Switch February 2nd. That's the rumor.
That is the rumor.
February 8th. One of the, yes.
So I'm not going to comment on the rumors, but I would love to talk about Season 8.
Yes, let's do it. We're definitely going to do that. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Also, listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. Super easy. Just go and search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us, subscribe, and post a review. I think that will help us out to go top of the charts, you know. But if you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so Ri,
yes,
I think I'm gonna go back. So, a couple years ago, it was Super Bowl weekend, and there was rumors of a battle royale that was coming from Respawn. I think everybody was super excited. I personally thought it was gonna be like a Titanfall battle royale type game, right? And we finally got to see the trailer, the announcement, because I think there was pictures that got out slowly over the weekend during Super Bowl. I think during the halftime, there was pictures of content creators that went to Respawn and got to play the game early. So the game came out. I'm thinking, okay, I think this is going to be cool. And I really enjoyed the game. So I stopped for a while because I've been playing other games and everything. But I've been playing a lot more lately, a lot because of you, of course. But and the reason why I wanted you here is because you're a huge fan of Apex Legends. Huge fan.
Yes.
And the second anniversary is coming up. And I just want to talk about that. So how was it for you the first time that you started playing Apex Legends? Like how you heard about it and it took you a while. You were in the game right away.
Yeah, I think I heard about it pretty much just like everybody else. Everyone started talking about like this game that was dropping in and oh my gosh, it's here, right? They did a pretty incredible thing. And as somebody who has been in games marketing, I honestly can't believe they pulled it off where they didn't talk about the game at all until it was out. And not only that, but it was another battle royale. And this is in a landscape where we already have Fortnite, super, super huge. We already have PUBG, another really big, little bit more realistic looking battle royale. And then they're like, okay, here's something that's kind of in the middle and it's free to play too. And everybody was like, why would you do this? Why would you release another one of these games, right? The hype train was starting to get some doubters, but they nailed it. They blew everybody's expectations completely out of the water. And when I say I booted it up and the fact that it worked day one on a stealth launch when it has so much heat and like more players than they ever had during testing – I was blown away just by that. I was completely impressed. And not only that, but it was fun. It had this new thing called a ping system that everybody was super excited to use and a really amazing feature for accessibility. And it had interesting characters. The characters were diverse. The voice acting is superb. Like it did so many things so, so right that like I literally could not put it down.
Now, I know you mentioned that you were also involved in game marketing. You would like to mention some of the games that you worked on in the past? Because a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's important to mention that.
Yeah, so I've worked on many games that I don't have credits in because that's the nature of game dev. But the few that I'm the most proud of would definitely be Halo 5, Ori 1, Ori 2. So Ori and the Blind Forest, Ori and the Will of the Wisps. And the little sparkle in my heart is Tell Me Why from Don't Nod Studios that came out this past summer.
Yeah, and that was your last game.
That was last game I've worked on. I'll say the latest game I've worked on, because who knows what the future holds.
That is true. And now you're working at G4. What is it you do with there?
G4. Yeah, so at G4, G4 TV Network, I am the senior manager of brand marketing. So it sounds very, very corporate. But essentially, I'm just trying to make sure that we tell you guys what we're doing, we do it in the right way, and you know that we feature diverse voices on our channel. So,
yeah. All right, cool. Cool. And I know I got to watch the reunion special this past November, which was a lot of fun to watch. And I can't wait to see what you and your team have planned for the future, man. It's gonna be really cool.
We have plans. Really, really cool. We have plans. As much as COVID makes it difficult to do things, we got plans. Don't worry. We're still moving.
All right, cool. All right, so let's go back to Apex Legends. So there's a question that one of our listeners just posted on Twitter.
Oh, cool.
Actually, to our tweet about that we're going to go live. He's like, hey, Lindell, his name is, considering the game has been out for a while, do you think it is a new player-friendly game?
I think the beginning of a new season is always the best time to get into Apex specifically. And here's why. Even if you've only played in the last couple of months, there's been a lot of changes, right? Since season 7, where they dropped Horizon and the new map, they've added the replicator system. They've changed the gun meta a few times. They've added Evo shields only, so you don't get static shields. Every shield you get can level up as you do damage to other enemies. They've taken the drops that that will come concentrate in certain areas and you can go straight to it and get supply crates. They've put that in and taken that away all in the last season. So Apex changes a lot. And if you're not comfortable jumping into a game mid-season without knowing the meta, season 8 is the perfect time to get in because everything will change. King's Canyon is getting obliterated. We have an entirely new weapon that no one has played with before. Like, believe me, you're not going to be that far behind the curve and you will catch up very quickly.
Yeah, you know what? One thing I realized that this game, in my opinion, works with playing with friends.
Yes, absolutely.
There's players out there that maybe they have friends online but might not play this game, or they're not into Battle Royale games. Do you think that this works for solo players? Because I know in the past they did release a solo player playlist.
Yeah,
I think for like temporary, it was like a time thing. But right now you only could play duels and trios. So for somebody that's new, don't have friends that play this game, you think it's going to work for them? What is like the best advice you will give them about that?
They do have some LFGs that you could jump into to find people to play with. But if that's just not your style, if you prefer to just play alone, they do occasionally have solos modes. It's not as common as, you know, like the duos. So if you have at least one person that you would like to play with, maybe another gamertag radio listener, that would probably be your best bet, because this game really is meant to be played in groups. The meta between the different legends and their different tactical and passive and ultimate abilities are built so that they can sort of mix and match together. But because Apex, like I said, is pretty dang accessible, they have things like the ping system, which lets you identify something in the world and your teammates can see it. And it could be a number of different things. You could say, I've seen a player over here, or I'm going to go loot over there. I'm watching here to make sure nobody comes and sneaks up on us. And you can do all of that without saying a word. So everybody that you're playing with, even if you're going in solo without having that pre-established gameplay flow or that communication in party chat or Discord, they'll still know exactly what you're doing. And beyond that, the characters in the actual game, the one you're playing as and the other characters on your team, have dialogue in-game that is specifically triggered by things that are happening. So if you're outside the ring and you're going to try to tell that to your teammates so that they know they need to get ready to move into the safe zone, your character will say it for you. You don't even have to ping that. So I think it's easy to get into this game as a solo player as opposed to other battle royales, but it really is meant to be played on a team. However, the communication tools are there for you to do that without knowing the people that you're teamed up with.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the characters. So the new character is coming up now in what, like in a few days, February 2nd, right?
Very soon.
Can you tell us a little bit about the character? What's the difference between this one and the previous characters available in the game?
Yeah, so backing up a little bit, let's talk about Season 8. So
Yes.
Season 8, they dropped the launch trailer this past week, and it's very, very well done trailer. It's part of what they're doing. Was it Tales from the Legends? I want to say Tales from the Borderlands. That's always where my mind goes. But it's really great how they do these little backstory clips of the new characters and the hint at the changes that are coming to the game, because Apex, as you know, is a battle royale, so they don't have a story mode. There's no typical single player campaign to learn about everybody that you're seeing on your screen. So they do these character shorts where you get a little bit of their backstory, maybe a flavor of their fighting style and their abilities. And it's nice because, again, the set of characters in Apex Legends is ridiculously diverse. I mean, they have robot people, they have people who can manipulate time and space. Like it's pretty wild how many different types of characters they do manage to fit into this one narrative. And in case you don't know, the world of Apex Legends actually is tied into Titanfall 2. But I'll go ahead and read what they say about Season 8 and Fuse, who is our new legend. So they say, Fuse doesn't lack confidence, but he often lacks a plan. He's a blow-up, first ask questions later kind of guy. And Fuse's entrance has dramatically reshaped King's Canyon. And they've been pretty mum on the details. They say, you know, stay tuned to learn more. But we do know a little bit more about Fuse, and I'm reading this from the wiki at Titanfall Fandom. So it says, Fuse is the legend that will be in Season 8. His real name is Walter Fitzroy, and he is from Salvo. Now, Salvo is one of the Outer Ring planets, like, filled with sort of more, like, outcasts and people who would be a little bit outside of the Syndicate, who is the you think of them as, like, the Imperial Force that's kind of uniting all of the outer planets together. Salvo is the first one to join the Syndicate after they started spreading their reign. And back to the wiki, Fitzroy's best friend ever since his childhood was Maggie, or Mad Maggie, and he and Maggie were outlaws. When Salvo joined the Syndicate, Fuse was given an offer to join the Apex Games as the latest legend, presumably to ease the tension between the people of Salvo and the Syndicate, thinking that as one of the people from Salvo, if people saw him on screen in their big game, like an NFL player, for instance, they would be a little bit more accepting of the rule, right? So after the announcement of Falco joining Syndicate Space, Fuse proceeded to tell Maggie that he joined the Apex game, and then Maggie blows off Fuse's arm with an explosive. So you get the sense that maybe Salvo is a really tough place, but Fuse especially is a little reckless. He's playing with explosives all throughout the trailer. You see him and his friend Mad Maggie going back and forth in, you know, really risky situations where they are escaping death left and right. And you get the sense that he's going to be very chaotic. As far as his move speed, every player, every character in Apex moves at the same speed, but their character animations makes it seem as though some are faster and some are slower. So Wraith, for instance, who is a little bit smaller, she moves fast. Caustic, who I play, is a big boy, and it looks like he's running really slow compared to Wraith, but they actually move at the same speed if you put them neck and neck. So it's looking like Fuse will probably be one of those characters that looks like he moves a little bit faster. He has, let me pull up his abilities. I'm sorry, Danny, I'll pause. I'm talking a lot.
Hey, it's all good. No, go ahead. Hey, go ahead. It's all good. We're talking. We're having a conversation about Apex. There's nothing wrong with it. Go for it.
So let me see. I don't think I have details on his abilities, actually. So we haven't seen his full moveset.
So they probably once it gets closer or the day of, we'll find out more about that. Okay. Now, I want to ask you this question because I think it's important.
Okay.
So you've been through the whole almost eight seasons now playing the game.
Yeah.
In your opinion, which the seasons stood out to you and why? And do you think season 8 is also going to be important compared to the other seasons?
Two very good questions. Which one stood out to me and why?
Yeah. Was it because of the map changes? Because there was some seasons it was just the characters and it was just the same map. Maybe they added a couple of new things here and there, but I think like the previous season, right now, season 7. Do you think that was a very important season for you as a fan?
I think season 7 was pretty important. It definitely got me back into it. So season 7 Ascension released Horizon and the new map Olympus, which is the first time we're seeing vehicles in Apex Legends. It's a huge, wide map, lots of long sight lines. The sniper game is really well favored there. And it had a few different smaller events, but the most recent one, Fight Night, where it added an actual boxing ring, where you enter the boxing ring, all of your weapons and passive and tacticals are completely unequipped, and you literally just punch each other until somebody falls or jumps out of the ring. So there's been a lot of change in Season 7. And as I said before, throughout Season 7, they've changed the shield meta. They've changed the replicator meta. They've changed the supply crate meta. And this happens in almost every season. So I would say Season 7 is definitely one that stood out to me. Like I said, it got me back in. I loved Season 6 boosted with Rampart, another new legend that they introduced this summer. But I would say the one that stands out to me the most is probably Season 2, where they introduced Watson. And let me steal the name here. Mm-hmm. That was called Battle Charge. So Battle Charge Season 2, that was July 2nd, 2019 to October 1st, 2019. And I remember this very, very vividly because this is where they added the Iron Crown. And it's one of those collection events that if you missed it, you just don't understand how cool it is. But they did a town takeover where they changed the map of King's Canyon specifically for the season, and then they gave us some really great badges that just look pretty. So they're blue and all of your badges are diamonds, but this one has like a fan that looks like a crown. And for some reason, like, I was always like, I really want that crown. Like, you know, there's always one piece of loot that you just start chasing for no reason in one of these RPG games. Like,
yes,
the crown just became this thing. I was like, oh my god, it's so gorgeous, like, I want one. So that's one that I remember really well, but not for any specific reason other than it had some really great loot and really good badges.
Yeah, I know throughout the season, they added the vault key, they added the gold shield and helmet, and also red shield and everything. So does that, you think that made it more challenging, more competitive when they start adding things like that in the game? Like, honestly, that fight night or whatever they're called, I really didn't like that. I think it was just... I think it was just testing the waters to see if people are going to test, you know, people are going to try that out. At first it was cool, but we will go there all the time and it's empty. Nobody goes there now. Like, nobody.
I mean, anything, as it was new and shiny, a lot of people dropped there because it was new and shiny. And now it's become clear that it's a good loot spot. You know, there's plenty of stuff there to pick up for three people on a team, but it's definitely not as popular as it was right when it first dropped. I think. Are you saying, like, are there things that were challenging in season two specifically, or just
not challenging, but more of like throughout the seasons, you know, they start adding the gold, because when I started playing, there was none of that in there. So when they started adding shields like that, or like red shields, gold shield, do you think that that made it more challenging in the game, more competitive against other players, or you think it's just the same? Like, do you think every time they make those changes, does that make the game better, in your opinion?
I think so. I think, you know, games in general benefit from tweaking over time, right? And this is why we see remakes doing so well. But in a battle royale genre specifically, and also in free-to-play games where people are constantly playing and there's never really that much downtime, you have to do that. Like, you have to sort of escalate the challenge. And one thing, I just pulled it up so I now remember, they added some loot in season two that helped balance some of the weapons that they saw people never picking up. So they pick up hammer point rounds, extended energy mag, things to make like guns that you usually pass up a little bit more incentivized. And that worked, right? We see people using energy guns in the meta. We still don't really see people using P2020s, but they tried, right? They tried to give you a power up for it. And it's important for games to have the flexibility to tweak things like that. Adding another level of shield, for instance, sort of like increases the drama of the end game. So you start shooting at somebody, you see they have a blue or purple shield at the beginning of the game, you're chilling, you know, like, oh, I can get them, throw a grenade, everything's fine. You start shooting at somebody end game and you see a red like number pop up, you're like, oh crap, they have red shields, I gotta focus. Like, it really like narrows you in and gets you ready for this really heightened battle. And I don't know. I love when they do stuff like that. I hope they keep doing it. Respawn has done an incredible job of supporting this game so far by adding these different guns, adding these different map changes, adding a vehicle, and then truly escalating the encounter throughout the game.
Yeah. I know when we heard about the game that was coming out and everybody thought it was going to be like a Titanfall Battle Royale. Do you think it makes sense for Respawn to add Titans in the game in the future? Do you think that would work out for something like this? For this type of game?
That's always the question, right? Like, what if they made a Titanfall game but Battle Royale? And I know this is Respawn's take on it, and I am 100% respectful of and impressed by their interpretation. I do still kind of want to see Titans just drop from the sky, like, every once in a while. And they sort of gave us the feeling of that by putting the Leviathans, the big, huge, scary, four-footed monsters that are sort of out of the side of King's Canyon. They brought them into the map with one of the season updates. And so they're walking through King's Canyon as you're playing your match, right? And they will lift up their foot, and then there's sometimes loot crates underneath it. You can run and get it real quick. And then they put their foot back down. If you didn't move fast enough, it stomps you to death. They did some cool stuff that makes the world feel a little bit bigger and gave you the sense of Titanfall. But I just want to see that mech drop from the sky, right? And it's hard to say how that could affect gameplay, because if any one team or character has any sort of command of what that Titan does, that's it. Game over. We've seen how Titans play in Titanfall. And yes, as a pilot, you can do some things to distract them, but you can't take it down by yourself. So it's really hard to put that in and balance it, unless it's just sort of like the Leviathans in King's Canyon. It's just a glitch of the a feature of the map, and it affects everybody the same way.
Yeah. No, I would love to see that too, because I love Titanfall.
Yeah.
Especially Part 2. Part 2 has the best campaign I ever played
in
a first-person shooter.
So
I'll compare that to, like, hey, very, very. So if you have Game Pass, make sure to download it, because it's a wonderful, wonderful campaign, and multiplayer too.
Oh, you know what would be cool? Really quick, I just thought of this. If they had the Titan fall down and the Titan's going crazy, it's like glitching out and then just spraying everywhere, and everybody has to sort of like take cover from it. And maybe all the teams have to like team up to take it down in order to keep playing the game.
So it's kind of like a mini boss, maybe?
Yeah.
Right? So that would be cool.
And maybe like everybody is non-aggro until they take it out or something.
Yeah. Now, there's going to be people. They start playing the game.
Yeah.
Right, Rhi? Mm-hmm. What is like the best tips you would give them, especially picking up weapons? Which one works? Which one you think it would be okay to start it off once you start the game?
Absolutely. It's a good question. So in case you're unaware, like completely uninitiated, the way Titanfall works is Titanfall works wonderfully. That's the way it works. No, the way Apex Legends works is you pick a character. You drop in with your two teammates, so you have teams of three in classic trios mode. You find a place to land and hope that there's loot on the ground or in a box nearby. And you don't have any control over what you pick up. You can sometimes tell what rarity will be in a certain area, but you definitely can't choose your weapons before you go in. And this is a little bit different from some games, like Warzone, for instance, where you can at some point earn enough money to call down a care package that will allow you to choose anything in your preset loadout. That does not exist in Apex, so you get what you get. So I would say for people starting out, just drop and pick up something, just so you can start to get a feel for the weapons and the sound design and the difference between all of them. But if you're going for, and I'm just going to talk about weapons in general and gear, if you're going for like a short distance game, if you like to close a distance and shoot people a little bit more close range, always go for a shotgun and always go for an SMG. The alternator is fairly okay. The R99 is fantastic, but it rate of fires so fast that if you don't have an extended mag on it, it's almost unusable, because you'll run out of ammo and you'll have to reload quite a bit. If you're going for mid-range, I would say, again, maybe a submachine gun or a shotgun, just in case people get too close to you. But the ARs are pretty decent. I prefer the R301. The R301 used to be more powerful. They've actually nerfed it a couple of times, but it's still pretty viable in the meta. And if you're comfortable with it, I would definitely encourage people to try out the, either the Devotion or the Spitfire. Those are LMGs. They're pretty pretty decent at mid-range. You get a bit further out, it's harder to get accuracy with those, but they're very powerful, and they have very good mag size. And if you're playing as Rampart in particular, her passive makes those even more valuable. And of course, if you're doing long range, you're going to pick up a sniper or maybe a G7 Scout, which is a single fire light machine or a single fire light gun. I don't like snipers. Danny, I know you snipe a lot more than I do.
But yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm getting better. I'm getting better with it.
Yeah. I mean, they're super effective. We've seen clips of people, and I've seen you take people out like in one or two shots with the sniper rifle if you get the well-placed headshot and they don't have the best shield on their head. So, I mean, there's lots of ways to play. If you're looking at specific guns, it's really up to you. Like, I know I have light gun. Light guns is always, like, my primary if I can. I know, Danny, you tend to go for the snipers and the heavy weapons. We have other friends who prefer the energy weapons, which I don't get, but hey, more power to you.
I don't. I mean, the only one that I use for energy is the Havoc.
The Havoc is only okay for me when you can put the turbocharger on it. And I'm pretty sure they took that off as one of the attachments in this season. So unless they put a turbocharger back on the Havoc or they reduce that charge up time, I can never play with it. Like, it's tough. It takes a while to spin up before it starts shooting. And that's not good for the way that I play.
Hey, I have a couple questions here from our listeners. Mm-hmm. This is from Chubby Wubby. Okay. A shout out to him. And thank you for the donation too, man. He asked, what do you think of the next Titanfall game will look, feel like other people be coming to accustomed to Apex Legends? You think they're going to combine both? You think so, in your opinion, as a fan of the series?
I mean, absolutely, right? They all take place in the same world. Talos, I believe, is the name of like the world or the planet. It's a planet located in the Outlands. That's it's the same universe, right? So that's like asking if the MCU will combine storylines. I don't think it'll change much of the gameplay, but you can bet that if Respawn had this much success with Apex Legends, that some of the lessons they learn and the quality of life changes and maybe even some of the gunplay from Apex Legends are going to put it into next Titanfall. You don't waste good learnings like that. And it makes sense because the worlds are in the same place. So I think we'll definitely see Titanfall influenced by Apex Legends, and I'm excited for that. I think they keep getting better and better. It's a really great studio, and they've been on it with the tweaks that they've made to Apex.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. And here's I think this is a pretty good question here. Mm-hmm. Rock B Sal wrote, "What are your opinions on ranked? How do you think they could improve it? Because every time we play, we don't play ranked."
We don't play ranked. So, I have played ranked.
So is there a difference? Is there anything?
Oh, yes.
Yes? Okay. All right.
There's a difference. I would say for me, and this is just for me, I'm not a pro player at all. I say I am okay, maybe good some days. But when I go into ranked, it is a different pace of game. It's the same number of players, but people usually don't drop hot. Folks usually have the spot that they like to go to no matter where the ship is dropping you. So you see people going a lot further when they're dropping, and it's a lot quieter in the beginning of the game. And you don't see teams coming together and interacting or crossing paths until maybe like a few minutes in versus in the beginning of our games, Danny. We can see like the little scroller going like, so-and-so died, so-and-so down, so-and-so down. That doesn't happen as much in ranked. People are much more intentional and careful. And also, people keep a little bit more distance in ranked, I've noticed. They either sneak up on you and then engage when they're right in your face, or they try to pick you off, and there's much less mid-range game. So I would say it's very different, and what can they do to improve it? I think it's okay that way. I think it's important to have a game mode that is a little bit more cerebral, and you approach it with a little bit more forethought and less chaos. But I also like the way that we play sometimes where we drop immediately and we just punch each other to death. I think there's room for both in a game like Apex, and I'm glad they've managed to do that. It would be cool if they had maybe a ranked mode that was completely different. But I also like the way that it is now. Something that they added, I think it was in season 7 with Horizon, they added replicators to the game. And what replicators do is you collect different materials, you get points for that or currency for that. You also get currency for opening loot crates. And you can go to a replicator and craft different things. You could craft some ammo if you couldn't find any, or you could craft an attachment for a weapon that you have, a better backpack or shield. And that, when they first were introduced, the replicators concentrated the fighting in certain areas. And that helped a little bit, making sure people were engaging early on in the game. It, of course, wore off like any other new feature in a battle royale, but people still collect pretty closely to those replicators. It's usually on the people's path of like, hey, we'll drop here, we'll loot here, and then we'll hit that replicator, fill in our inventories with anything we weren't able to find on the ground. And I think that might be interesting to see more of, just ways to naturally point players in the same direction. But yeah, I'd be pretty happy if they mostly left ranked alone.
Yeah, well, here's another question. This is from Chanclita Mangu. Shout out to him, man.
Great name.
All the way from New York. Shout out to him, man. I feel like a few games have borrowed great features from Apex, absolutely, like respawning teammates, for example. What's a feature from another game that you will like to see in a future Apex Legends season?
Ooh,
that's a great question.
That is a fantastic question, Chanclita.
Chanclita Mangu.
Feature from another game that I would like to see in Apex. Well, it's hard to think of other games. Let me think about that for a second. So, go ahead.
You're a fan of, let's say you're a fan of Borderlands or Halo. Like, is there any stuff from there you might like to see in here?
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. I would like to see more vehicles, for sure. I think they let you play a little more risky, because if you see, oh, there's a vehicle right next to us, we can keep looting here a little bit longer. And then once the zone becomes unsafe, we can just jump in that vehicle and then get to the safe zone. But then it also creates more types of engagements, because you could say, oh, I hear a car approaching. That's an enemy team. Let's go get them. So I love the fact that they have that. I would like to see more. God, it's hard to say things that wouldn't completely throw the balance off, because like it's very easy to say, like, I would like to see, you know, overshields, or like from Borderlands, for instance, customizing your character's pluses and minuses and min-maxing a little bit. But all of that would throw off the balance of the game. I think I would like to see more NPCs. We have little robots, and we call them buddies, but they're Marvins. And right now, those robots will be in random places throughout the map. And you can hear them. You hear them booting up, and you can go to them and press their little chest button, I guess. And they will spit out a few pieces of loot. There's also little loot boxes that make a little sound. They go, ear, ear, and you can hear them when you walk into a room. You're like, ear, ear, and you're like, oh, there's something over there. And you walk up to them, and you shoot them or punch them, and they explode with some loot. I like stuff like that, but it would be even cooler to see maybe like a vendor where you can go walk up to a person. And, or not a person, a human necessarily, but you walk up to a vendor and you say, hey, I have this, but I wish I had this. And maybe you make an exchange, right? It's like, I walk up to it, I have an alternator, but I'd rather have a Volt, you know? And then I go up and I make the exchange. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you which one I would like to see.
Yeah.
So in Warzone, was it Warzone? Yeah, Warzone. They had an area where there's a lot of zombies. It's very risky going there because there's tons of zombies, but the loot there is like pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I think I would love to see something like that in Apex, where there's an area where there's a bunch of, maybe there's like a Titan, and if you destroy the Titan, you'll get some good loot, you know? So
that's a cool idea. Like that.
Yeah. Instead of having one, it could be maybe two Titans, because I feel like if you have one, everybody's going to go there and start fighting you. So I think that would be something cool, you know, to add in the game in the future.
That is a really cool idea. Yeah. Some high risk, high reward stuff that again, gets everybody over there. And maybe they could do something like Fight Night, where once you enter that area, you can't fight each other. You just got to take the Titans out or something.
Yes. Yeah. Or maybe take a warp where it will take you to a secret location. Only a certain amount of people could go there, you know?
Uh-huh.
Hey, look.
A one team at a time.
Me. Let's go.
This is cool. These are great ideas. I think that
would be cool. Yeah, yeah. You know how the vault, you find the vault key randomly. Yeah. It will be something like that. Maybe you will find a key to go to like a secret location.
Yeah.
You only have like a certain amount of time to go in there and destroy the Titan. get the loot from there, and then go back to the island.
And then it explodes or something. It blows up, and you run out of time. And if you don't,
but you only
out.
Have a certain amount of time. Certain amount of time to go there.
That's cool.
That would be make. Can they pull something out? I think that would be cool.
And you should submit that idea.
yeah, that would be cool. All right, so Chubby Bubby asks another question.
Ooh,
so
Chubby Bubby. Doubles.
Yeah, shout out to him. Do you think they would add the double jump and wall riding and make it available to all characters like in Titanfall 2? I don't know if that will work. I don't know if that will work for this. Not my thing.
It's difficult, right? Because mobility is a specific move set for some characters that give them their special advantage, right? So it'd be hard if you gave that to everyone. The characters I'm talking about are sort of Pathfinder, who can do like a Spider-Man swing, but more so Octane. And Octane's backstory is actually really interesting. Octane was, let me actually pull it up. Octane was one of the people who ran the Titanfall gauntlet. And I'll go ahead and really read his thing real quick. It says, one day Octavio Silva was bored. In fact, he was bored most days, heir to the preoccupied CEOs of Silva Pharmaceuticals and waiting for nothing in life. He entertained himself by performing death-defying stunts and posting holovids of them for his fans to gawk over. So on this day, he decided to set the course record for the nearby gauntlet from Titanfall, by launching himself across the finish line using a grenade. So this is why he doesn't have legs. And Octane is hooked up to sort of like a life preserver, and that's why Octane can continuously generate health over time. But again, like, blowing off his legs is sort of inspired in his moveset. You know, Octane throws a jump pad down, he launches off of it, and then he has a double jump. And any other player can do the same thing, launch off of Octane's launch pad and have a double jump. So if they added that to everyone, that would sort of negate Octane's ability. And I think that was sort of Respawn's way of doing the Titanfall movement in Apex Legends, is with Octane, and specifically tying his backstory to the Titanfall games, to the Titanfall games and the gauntlet. But I don't see it being more than that. I think, again, they've really worked hard to balance all of the different character abilities. And yes, some of them are used less often, but I don't know. I think they've kind of maxed out what they can do with the double jump and the wall running.
You know what? One thing I notice every time we play, we usually pick the same characters for us because it worked. We were pretty good with that. And I feel like we play well using those same characters, right?
Of course.
Is that important depending what type of characters you choose in the game as a team? Do you think that's very, very important? And what would be like the best combination? Or do you sometimes test it out to see if different characters will work for like different sessions or not? Or what?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's funny how we all progress through the character we started with, the character we experimented with, and the character we always play now, because they're usually three different ones. And there are definitely characters that work really well together, but it is important to find what character works well for you. You know, if you never play long range, then there's some characters you shouldn't pick. If you only ever play short range, then you want to get a caustic. Like there's certain characters that sort of go with your playstyle, and that can lead you in the right direction. But characters that go really well together, I think, are Caustic and Bangalore, who are the two characters that we play, or Caustic and Gibraltar, because Caustic, with his ultimate, he can throw noxious gas and it makes a huge gas cloud in a small area and hurts everybody there, and Caustic can see exactly where they are. Gibraltar almost has the opposite. Gibraltar can throw down a shield and call down Hellfire, and everything around them starts exploding with this barrage. And those two characters work really well together because Caustic can make it impossible for enemies to stay near you, and Gibraltar makes it very uncomfortable for enemies to be away from you. So you sort of force them to go wherever you want with those two ultimates combined. And there are other combinations that work similar to that, right? Like Bangalore, again, you know, has a barrage that is similar to Gibraltar's, and that works very well for closing the distance. And then Caustic can throw the gas. Everybody starts getting ticked with damage, and then Caustic can call out where they are. Anybody works really well with Bloodhound because Bloodhound can show the rest of their team where the enemies are with the scan. That's super important, especially if you're playing with strangers. So that's another good one to play if you're trying to be a supportive teammate is to throw on Bloodhound and then do a scan, and then everybody can see where the enemies are. Who else goes well together? Lifeline goes well with anybody because Lifeline can throw a shield and revive somebody without being next to them. Mirage does something similar. Mirage will hide everybody and make them disappear as they're hide themselves and the person they're reviving as they're rebooting a friend who is downed. It's hard to name all of the good combinations because there are so many, which is why this game is so interesting. I think it's important to find who works for you and your playstyle, and then figure out how you can tweak that to work with your friends, because there's always a way to make them fit.
Let's go back 2 years ago when the game came out, right? Okay. You're excited. You turned the game, boot it up. What was your first character that you used?
Lifeline.
And why?
Well, Lifeline, because I had my hair in Afro puffs just like her. And it was the first time I saw a character that looked so much like me. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's it. That's my girl.
Did it work out for you playing with her?
Yeah, I like playing Lifeline. Yeah. The game over time has tweaked with how useful her care package is. Because I believe originally it had gold level items in it sometimes, or it always had at least one gold. Something like that. And so it was like, you always wanted to be calling that down. I remember the meta was like, feed Lifeline all of the accelerants so that you could constantly be calling down care packages. It actually changed the way we played for a while. We'd always make sure we picked up ultimate accelerants. They spawned on the map a lot more often, and you would always give them to your Lifeline in order to make sure people were outfitted with all gold everything by the time they got into their last encounter. Now they've toned that down a little bit, so it's not as effective, but Lifeline is great. I like being a healer in most games. I don't mind that role for me. And she had a really cool character design and a cute little accent. And yeah, I was super into her.
You know, my first character was Mirage. And I think it was more of like his attitude. He was like really cool. He has this swag. So I'm like, oh, let me just use him. And I was using him for a while. And then I changed it up. But that was my first character in the game.
It's a good character. Honestly, it's hard to find a bad character in the bunch. There are some people that, you know, don't get picked as often, obviously, like I said before, but they're all viable.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's good. This is a great conversation, right? We've been talking for like almost an hour, just strictly 100% Apex.
I can talk about Apex all day, Danny. I love this game.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody has questions for Rihanna, you know, before we wrap this up, hey, post them in the chat or email, and we definitely will talk about it here, you know. But I'm excited. I'm excited for season 8. I can't wait to see the changes, the new character.
Yeah. And, so I tried to find more info on the changes coming, and it has been really
very secretive.
Really secretive. The only stuff we truly know, and this is officially from the EA.com. We know that they're introducing a new weapon. It's a 30-30 repeater. So it's called 30-30 repeater. I don't think we have its official name yet, but the flavor text says Salvo's most popular weapon. This lever action rifle, so it's another rifle similar to the G7, picks apart the opposition with hard hitting rounds. So my guess is that, like we have the G7 Scout, which has been a light rifle, we're going to have the 30-30 repeater as its heavy counterpart. Now, this is similar to how we have, was it the P-30? What's the three-round heavy machine gun? Or the three-round heavy submachine gun.
I can't remember the name either.
So it used to be a normal item. It's now a red item. So you can only get it in loot crate drops, and it's a red item now. That is the heavy little submachine gun, and then you have the R99 and the alternator, which are the light submachine guns. Or you would have something like the Devotion, which is a heavy, sort of not heavy, which is like an LMG, but it's energy. And then you have the the green the heavy light machine gun, the Spitfire. So you have the Devotion, the Spitfire, their energy light machine gun, and the heavy light machine gun. So we have the G7 Scout, which is the light lever action rifle. Now we have the 30-30, which is a heavy rifle. So it's interesting that they're kind of like fitting in more weapons that have counterparts that we already understand, so that it won't be so difficult to pick it up in the meta, and that'll be accepted a little bit more quickly, because people will be like a little familiar with it, and they're like, oh, I know how the G7 shoots. This is a heavy version of the G7. It'll probably be similar. I at least have a starting point, right? I know how far I can shoot with it. I know about what power level it might be. and it's easy to comprehend that way. So I like the way that they fit that in. We'll see how popular it is. The other thing we know that's coming is a new battle pass, obviously, but ranked again. So they haven't gotten rid of ranked. It seems like they'll probably have some tweaks, like the listener was asking about, but no big announcements yet. So I don't see them doing too much different with ranked, or they hopefully would have said something by now.
Yeah, I think there should be a reason for me to go to play in plain rank, maybe an exclusive loot that's only available there, that's not available in other playlists, you know? So I think that would be a good reason for us to try it out, right?
Yeah.
If they do something like that, yeah.
We can give it a shot. They're changing the map. I don't know. I didn't say that yet, did I? No.
No, you haven't mentioned. Yeah, you haven't mentioned that at all.
So there's too much to talk about. It's so much good stuff in Apex. So in the season 8 trailer where they introduce Fuse to the Apex games, right? He's celebrating on a big, huge boat. There's a cute little quip that Mirage has talking about, like, oh, yeah, it's a big boat. Because, you know, Mirage had his thing, the Mirage Voyage map change, where he actually put a cruise ship on top of Kings Canyon and you could go up there and find loot. And there was like a DJ deck and a party happening. But the intro for Fuse to the Apex games is a huge ship. Everybody's cheering. They're really excited for this new hero from Salvo. And then Maggie, his friend Mad Maggie, is upset. And they have that chaotic, violent back and forth. And so she rigged Kings Canyon with explosives and just blows up huge sections of the map, tanks the entire ship, and it goes down in the middle of Kings Canyon. And there's a really sweet moment where you see Lifeline and Gibraltar, who are both people who are like on rescue and recovery teams in the war, in the legend, in the wider universe of Apex. And you see them trying to like get people to safety. So that was a really nice in-character moment for both of them. But more importantly, the entire Kings Canyon map is going to change. And we know that there will be huge pockets of debris in like mountains that are missing. So it'll be really interesting to see what's different. Because when the Leviathans came into the Kings Canyon map, we saw a lot of changes in a lot of gameplay mechanics, like getting crushed by their feet, for instance. So I wonder if they'll do something similar with the changes coming here in Mayhem.
All right. So we have another question here from Rock B. Sao. He said, Apex has done a great job with the characters and diversity. Is there anything or anyone you would like, you would look forward to them adding in the game?
Yeah, I would like to see more black men.
Cool. That's a good one. Yeah, cool. That's it.
It's great. Like, I love that they have human characters, non-human characters. They have a Revenant who is kind of an android, but kind of a ghost and sort of was a man. Like they've really stretched themselves. So it's hard to imagine anything that they probably haven't already thought of and is coming. Like, I don't know, maybe like flames personified, or like an anthropomorphic teddy bear. Like, I can't imagine what else they could throw into this game. They're doing really well with the diversity.
Cool. Do you watch any of the like the esports tournaments of Apex at all, or you just like randomly just watch videos on like Twitch or YouTube, or just people playing? What is it that you're into?
Definitely the latter. I like watching random people play because I feel like they're more likely to play at a level that I could comprehend. I do watch really great moments in those games, and you and I have watched compilations where people are able to do some move set or get to some spot and have an amazing last second kill that doesn't seem possible. And it's cool to see that because you see people thinking outside the box, like using Pathfinder to get to areas you didn't know you could reach, or doing cool, clever tricks with Wraith where you put a portal right behind the other portal and then surround it with a bunch of surround it with a bunch of Watson traps and then everybody's just stuck there.
That was pretty cool. That was a cool one.
That was funny, right? There's some fun stuff in the everyday people compilations because I think they can get up to more nonsense than the pro players, right? Like the pro players have to be very strategic, very intentional. But, you know, regular folks like you and me, we can come up with some pretty funny combinations of skills and asset and attributes. So those are the ones that I like to watch the most.
What was there like any crazy ones you were like, I didn't know you could do that?
Yeah, I mean, there was a Pathfinder that got to a spot in the Olympus map that I didn't know was even reachable. It was like at the top of an elevator, but like on top of it. It's hard to describe without having the map in front of us, but it was definitely a spot that I didn't know really existed. And then they dropped down and got the got the jump on somebody. The other one that was really funny was the one I just described with Wraith, where they tricked everybody on the other team into a Wraith portal and then trapped them there with a bunch of those Watson traps, and they literally could not move or get away. There's some other really great moments where people throw like a Gibraltar shield or something like on the edge of a building, so people think they can get up underneath it, but you can't. And so they get stuck there, and then the other teammate comes around behind them. There's some really great moments with Horizon, because people are still kind of figuring her out, where they threw a grav lift so that everybody followed her and sort of tried to jump in after her wherever she was going to land. But then she threw a black hole, and her teammate threw a whole bunch of grenades at it. So all of the enemy team was chasing her, and they ended up in the black hole with grenades right on top of them. So there's some pretty funny moments that I've seen over the compilations I've watched. And I highly recommend looking at, you know, just like Apex compilations, because they can give you really good ideas for things you didn't think were possible.
Well, from behind the scenes, as a person that worked on marketing, marketing certain games in the past, right? So how was it for you seeing how Respawn marketed this game? Because I remember it was just like word of mouth, only content creators. There was no ads, nothing. And it was during Super Bowl weekend that we got to hear about this 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And look now, the game became huge, huge success for Respawn and EA. And I think this has been the most successful game for Respawn compared to like the previous game that they worked on. So how was it as a marketing person, Respawn promoting the game like that instead of the traditional, hey, let's have ads everywhere and all that stuff?
Yeah, I think it was very risky, but it obviously paid off, right? And we've had influencer marketing for a while, but I think Apex is definitely one of the more high profile examples where they paid so-and-so, I think it was $1 million. Was it Ninja $1 million? Or that was the rumor. I don't know what it actually was, but essentially they put a lot of money into having some really high profile Battle Royale players specifically on Twitch play this game. And I think in the first month or the first 2 months, they had 50 million players. Now, I don't know what their KPIs were, but 50 million players sounds pretty dang successful to me. And that was, like you said, with just word of mouth, just influencer marketing and a few marketing pieces, maybe some paid ads here and there. I think they nailed it. And they've, of course, upped that with these character shorts and giving us more information on the actual world of Apex Legends and Talos and doing classic traditional marketing since the release. But leading up to it, that at that point, I'm pretty sure that was like unheard of in gaming, you know, saying nothing, doing nothing, and then dropping the game and everybody's online and hardly anybody had, you know, was it disconnects or timeouts or anything like that. I think they did something that I don't think many studios could do, and I'm still marveled by it. I think there should be like a book written about how they pulled that off, because it was really impressive. And to take any kind of shine away from Fortnite, like I believe they beat Fortnite for a while, that was really hard to do, and they did it.
They put it off. Yeah. Now a couple of things before we wrap this up. One is I'm excited that this game is coming out for Nintendo Switch. There's no date.
Yeah.
There's no date yet, but that's gonna bring a whole new crowd that's gonna play. Apex. Not only that, it's also crossplay. So how that's going to change the way we play Apex? One is how everything has changed ever since they added crossplay in the game. And also your thoughts on, as a fan, because you have the Nintendo Switch also, right?
I do.
Are you going to be trying it out? Are you going to play on the Switch? Like, you're excited to try it out or what?
So I have a lot of thoughts about this, and I'll try to be brief because I know I talk a lot, especially about this game.
Hey, I love talking to you. Let's go. We like this all day, guys.
All day. I'll try to structure my thoughts. So first off, I think it'll make the game more popular for a little while. You know, there will be a whole new console's worth of audience in there. Anybody playing crossplay with the Switch audience will probably see, you know, whatever skill balance they make for the control scheme on Nintendo Switch, because it is very different if you're using the native controllers. If you're using a pro controller, maybe they'll change, you know, the reaction time or what have you. I don't know about that kind of tinkering. We'll see if it makes Switch players more or less capable and if it makes them fun to pick on or people you want to avoid. Right now, the way that crossplay works is you can either be open or not. You can't choose which consoles you want to be crossplay with. So if you have a friend playing on Switch with you, I'm guessing they'll probably try to pair you with other crossplay teams that have at least one Switch player. But who knows how they'll rate those algorithms. Right now, when you and I play, we crossplay on PlayStation and PC occasionally, or more so PlayStation and Xbox. We tend to get a mix of players on both consoles, and we tend to do better in those situations because whatever balancing they do to make crossplay viable, it makes the lobby a little bit easier. Probably because people who are playing on different consoles with their friends, they weren't on the same page when they bought their consoles whenever they came out. Yeah. So maybe they don't play together as often. Maybe it's just a pickup group that they found, or maybe it's folks that aren't as skilled. Who knows? For whatever reason, it makes those lobbies a little bit easier to play with. So I'm guessing there'll be some people getting picked on one way or the other. But kind of going back to my general thoughts on crossplay with not with Switch in particular, but with all of the consoles, is there's a lot of work to be done there. And it won't be perfect right off the bat. I think people should expect it to be definitely unbalanced for a while, because there's tweaks that need to be made, and they can only be made with a lot of testing data. And it's really impossible to figure out all of the things your audience is going to do to try to break your game until you give it to them. And I also think it's interesting in general the way that Apex and other games like Rocket League, for instance, and there's Fortnite now have sort of embraced the idea of doing crossplay with especially free-to-play games, because there's a lot of Switch users and they have a really great attach rate with Nintendo games, but I don't know what their numbers are doing for these other crossplay free-to-play games. I don't know if they're sticky on Switch. So it'll be interesting to see how many Switch players stick with it with crossplay, and if that audience is really big enough to be only on Switch, or if they need crossplay in order to give those players enough people to matchmake against. The other thing is, we live in a multi-console household, right? Like, we have the PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X, Xbox Series S. We have a regular Switch. We have the Switch Lite. We have everything here. So we can play crossplay pretty comfortably, and it's not strange for us. It's not a different experience. With the typical gamer, I would say, they have one or two maybe, and they don't do crossplay as often because, like I said before, usually people buy what their friends have. So it may be something that people don't even think to go click on or make the option available for them. You can opt out of crossplay. So again, I don't know if those lobbies are really going to be that big with the Switch joining. So it'll be interesting to watch how it plays out, because it could go a couple different ways. But I think it'll be informative for other games for sure to see how Switch does.
Yeah, you know what it is too, Ree? That Nintendo crowd, they love to download new content.
Yeah.
More than Xbox and more than PlayStation, in my opinion. They're very aggressive. Every time there's a new game, it's like top of the charts. Every single game. Even indie games.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's a very well-curated system.
Yeah. So I personally think that it's going to help Apex get a whole new crowd. And remember, it's a free game.
It's free.
You don't even need Nintendo Switch Online to play it. Now, the thing that is going to hurt Nintendo Switch players is voice chat. Do you need a Nintendo Switch app, online app, in order to play? Or is it going to be kind of like Fortnite, where you don't need Nintendo Switch Online and you can still talk to players? You just got to connect a microphone to your headset to your device, and you could play on the go like that, so it all depends. We're curious about it. Let's see how that's going to work for Nintendo Switch players. But from when it comes to that part, just as a person that don't talk a lot, unless I'm playing with players that I know, my friends, I'm excited to see what's going to happen with Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm definitely going to try it out. It worked for Fortnite.
And Fortnite did mobile at the same time as Switch, right? If I'm remembering that correctly.
Yes, that was mobile. And I tried mobile.
Yeah.
I even did this experiment. So Paris was playing, I believe, the PC. His son was playing on the console, and I was playing on my iPad, and it worked fine. No, it was the Switch.
Okay.
And it worked out fine. We were all on Discord. Yeah. We were talking, and it worked out. it was smooth.
Yeah.
Smooth experience overall.
That's good. So and it could work. The in-game chat in Apex is pretty good. And like we've been talking about, the ping system is very robust. Like you barely have to say anything to your teammates in order to communicate with them.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe we've been talking over 60 minutes, all 100% Apex.
Easy.
Thanks, Ree. It's been a great conversation. We're going to do an after show. And also, we're planning to play Apex in a few minutes here. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Ree, anything else before we wrap it up?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, if you don't have any listener questions, I guess everybody should go try Season 8. At the beginning of February, because we need people to play against, right?
yeah, definitely. Well, I would love to do like a community night where all of us would just go and play, and maybe randomly we'll meet up, you know, and we'll have different conversations in the chat. I think it'll be cool. Yeah. Or just watch us live, right? Watch us live here, you know,
or your channel.
You want to mention your Twitch channel? Because you just started streaming.
Yeah, I just started streaming.
I want people to go over there and follow her. Yeah. Follow her because she just started streaming.
I just started streaming this year. It was not a resolution, but just a goal of mine in 2021 to be, you know, less intimidated to speak my mind and to be on camera and out there in front of people. So I'm at Rihanna Twitches now on twitch.tv. And after this, as Danny mentioned, we'll be playing some Apex live. I think we can jump into some duos. But yeah, if you're curious about Apex, there's a lot there, but it is super approachable. A new season is the perfect time to jump in. You know, play as whatever character, you know, tickles your fancy, and you know, just take your time and get to know it, and I'm sure you'll have a good play session.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Ree, first of all, thank you so much to be on the show. And this is our first time recording a podcast together. So.
It is.
And the reason why this is special to me is tomorrow is my 20th anniversary as a content creator. So I was like, hey, I want to do something different. You know, forget about the news. Let's talk about a game that we love to play together all the time, and it's Apex. You know, that's the first game that we actually played we started talking, you know, and I think it was with Nano, my brother. So I know we said that before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was special to me having you here on the podcast to celebrate my 20th anniversary as a content creator. So thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
A lot of fun. So everybody, head over to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can also find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us, subscribe, post a review. Doesn't matter where in the world, just please post a review. It will help us out. It will help us reach the top of the charts. And we need that community support, and share our content to your friends. Let them know about GTR. And if you would like to be part of our segment of fan mail, or sometimes we do like a whole episode, just strictly questions from the listeners, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so later this week, we have a couple things lined up. We have couple podcast episodes coming out. I can't say what it is. And maybe an announcement, a special announcement, fingers crossed, this week to celebrate the 16th anniversary of Gamertag Radio, which is happening next month. So stay tuned for that. Everybody, thank you for watching here or listening to Gamertag Radio. Until next time, this is Danny and also our special guest. Thank you so much, Rihanna. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.